where there's this famous temple that was featured in the film Sans Soleil by Chris Marker.
Oh,
it has all these Manekineko cats. So, yeah. And also there's the Toho Studios, which is maybe about a 10-minute bike ride from where I live.
Very cool. Oh, cool. That's awesome.
Hey, Daisuke, have I ever told you that my wife is obsessed with Japanese mascots?
You mentioned that in passing, I think, in a chat that we had. Yes.
Did I? Okay. Yeah.
it was a very like a mysterious way to end that conversation.
it's a little odd.
It's really cool.
You've seen that, Mark. Yeah. Well, I guess the one thing about Tokyo, or not Tokyo, Japan, is every prefecture and companies, they all have their own little mascots. And for example, like if an area produces a certain crop, they'll have a mascot that crop, and they're so random, they're so strange. So and Kumamon is the most popular. I think you probably know Kumamon, right?
Yes. I'm very pleasantly surprised that she's so into the mascots. She's probably knows more about it than most Japanese people.
She probably does. you guys are probably sick of them, actually, but
no, not at all. We take great pride in them. So.
Oh, good. Good.
Yeah.
Well, I guess we're doing the show. Are you cool with doing the show, Mark?
Yeah. Yeah, let's do it. I like it. I love this. We're connecting to, you know, someone halfway across the world. So let's get into it.
So, and this is actually, I thought about this earlier. This is the fourth country represented on this show.
Because
we've had Canada, we've had Australia. So this is the first foreign language country. Oh, not that Daisuke speaks perfectly good English, but I think Japan has a lot of English speakers, but yeah. So welcome, Daisuke.
Thank you very much for having me. It's a real pleasure and honor. I'm really thrilled to be here. Thank you.
Oh, thrilled to have you. You've been a breath of fresh air just in the community in the last few months since you joined. So I didn't know you were a longtime listener, but yeah, really enjoy your contributions, your videos. So thanks for being a part of this.
Thank you very much. That's real kind of you. Thank you.
And also, because you're on the other side of the world, it's morning for us, for Mark and I. It's late night for Daisuke. So anyway, I should introduce you. Daisuke Beppu, is that how you say your name?
Perfect.
Good. I'm sure you get that butchered all the time. Like,
not a problem. Actually, it's people pronounce it pretty well, actually. Actually, I don't think people have mispronounced it since I've joined Facebook. So
good.
Everyone's pretty good about
good.
That.
Yeah.
I know Americans. I could see people doing Daisuke or I think the pitcher, the pitch for the Red Sox probably helped us.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I guess we're doing the show. So we have Mark. Hello, Mark.
Hey,
fancy
good morning,
seeing
Aaron.
You here.
Yeah, I know, right? It's it's good to be back as always. I love talking to you about Criterion movies, and very excited to have Daisuke on with us. So a trio.
Thank you.
Yeah, we're going to talk about Daisuke in a second. First, if you don't mind, can I give a Patreon shout out? We just have one one, and it's one we know. It's Trevor, the Mooks and the Gripes, and I've actually been contributing to his for about a couple months. In fact, he has a really interesting one. It's more literary, which is Trevor's thing. And he had a reward that was pie, so $3.14. So I did that. So anyway, we're giving to each other. He's doing a solo podcast series through this Patreon. Not as often as we are doing it, but he is doing one. But these are on literature.
Trevor likes to read. He's a good man.
He does like to read and write. He's very very prolific in both.
Yeah, and watch movies. I don't know how he does it. Trevor, you must have a clone. You must sleep 2 hours. I don't know. It's awesome. You're a man among boys.
He does get up super early, too. And Daisuke is up super late, so he knows compromising your time for being on a podcast now. But
sure.
Trevor's a champ at it. Week before last, we had Lisi Russell, Lisi Tribble Russell. So that was Ken Russell's spouse. I hate, we mentioned this on the podcast, don't like the word widow, but I guess technically she's his widow. And I really enjoyed that conversation. And there was a lot of a lot of good comments that came out of that. Even though I messed up my audio, but people didn't seem to mind. Did you guys get to listen to Lisi?
Yeah, it was great.
Fantastic, fantastic episode.
Yeah, I can't take credit either. She's just a remarkable person and had a lot of stories, a lot of fun, a lot of energy. And she was at a friend's house in New York, just in I could see her in like basically his attic. She was like,
cool.
The pool downstairs. But she was really, she had a lot of good stories. But I really was interested in the devils. Oh, I was interested in all of it. But so speculated about the devils and then altered states. Do you guys think it's possible that either of these could ever come in the collection? I'll start with you, Dice K.
Sure, anything's possible, right? I mean, I think the issue with the devils, if I'm not mistaken, is it's all about, it's just if the licensors will be relaxed enough to agree to a home video release that's respectful of the original film, right? So, oh gosh,
yeah,
it's tough. It's real. As time passes, I think the chances grow. But Criterion is one to look out for, because Criterion, as we all know, it's full of surprises, even in today's time. So, if anyone can release it, it's Criterion. That's for sure.
I think if anybody did, it would be Criterion. And I think I said this to Lisi. I don't see the market for. I don't think people getting upset about a 40-year-old movie about religion is going to bother them. In fact, I found a list. In fact, I'll link it in the show notes, called Sacrilege and Blasphemy, and it's just a listing of films that are sacrilegious. In fact, there's popular ones. There's The White Ribbon, there's The Exorcist, there's Rosemary's Baby. Actually, even The Da Vinci Code is on there.
Yeah.
If you think about it, kind of, yeah. So I'll put that list in there. What do you think, Mark?
Yeah, I really think it's got to come at some point, right? I mean, it's Warner Brothers, right? They've got to loosen the reins. I don't know. I think you guys spoke to the fact that maybe there's just one person that at Warner Brothers who has a bug about that film, and that's got to loosen someday. So I'm thinking Criterion, maybe Arrow, but I really think Criterion wants to get their hands on that one. So it's a matter of time. And same with Altered States. I think Altered States is coming even sooner. I'd say probably in the next year, seeing it on Filmstruck. I feel like that's one that Criterion would also pick up, just give us more details about. So.
Yeah, I think that curmudgeon at Warner Brothers, it's time to retire.
Retire.
Let's check out that 401k.
You go.
I'm sure Warner's gives a nice pension, but I'm sure he's made a nice living. But the Devils would love to see it on Criterion. I think it's always out there. It's always recommended. And I think the Warner has created this mystique. Maybe they're doing this on purpose. Maybe they're creating a market. So anyway, thank you, Lisi, for joining. So much fun.
She was awesome. She was so enthusiastic, and as she always is. And she's one of us. She buys Criterions and subscribes to the services we do. So yeah, she was great.
It was wonderful, absolutely wonderful. She, listening to her comments on that podcast, I learned such an important lesson about the devils. You know, the discussion about the devils and, you know, the fact that it's not properly released, you know, it's all about like perception, right? Mm-hmm. It's basically like a war of perception, you know, the mystique around the cut scenes, etc. And there was a real good discussion between you, Aaron, and Lisi about the quote-unquote rape of Christ scene.
Right, that was
great. Yeah, that was great, because I always refer to it as the rape of Christ scene, because that's how it's referred to in the many documentaries and the literature. But she said something very interesting. She said, you know, it's not the rape of Christ. It's basically, you know, these nuns doing stuff with a statue.
Right.
I mean, it's pretty risque stuff, but, it's not... It the rape of Christ moniker isn't really accurate. So I learned a great lesson. It's all about perception. And if we can, you know, wipe away that sheen and that mystique by calling it for what it really is, that might help further the thoughts about that film. So I've learned from that podcast to refer to that as not the rape of Christ footage, but rather the statue scene extended footage. So that's how we'll refer to it from now on.
We could call it, all right, nuns using a statue icon of Christ as a sex toy. Would that
To
work?
do unmentionable.
Rolls off the tongue so easily,
I'm
Aaron.
sure that would be
Wonderful.
that would make Warners would be like, oh, you're right, there's no rape here.
Release it, do it.
It's fine. All right, well, Dice K, let's talk about you for a little bit. People that have been in the groups, and not just Criterion Now, but the Criterion Considered and some of the other groups, you've been very, very prominent in these groups, and you've spent a lot of time. In fact, I was very impressed. There was one occasion where somebody was being kind of a troll on Facebook, which happens, and he was like dug into his argument, and you just kept on being nice to him, and then eventually, like, you niced him out of being a troll. So well done, Dice
Did that
K.
happen? I don't. Oh, thank you. I don't recall what that was, but thank you very much. I really appreciate that. Thank you. I think you know, I'm really new to Facebook, actually, to be perfectly honest. I only joined in April of this year, so April 2018. So, yeah. So I'm to be perfectly honest, there's a lot that I don't know, but it's really interesting to engage with people, and especially people who don't necessarily agree with what I have to say. But that's fine. You know, people disagree in real life as well as on Facebook, I suppose. But
So that's pretty much exactly what you did, is what you just right there. Well, Dice K, so we've heard a lot about your film taste online, and we'll hear more on the show. But can you just tell us a little bit about yourself? Where are you from? Did you grow up in Tokyo?
Oh, sure. So, anyways, thank you very much, Aaron. I really appreciate those kind words. So just very briefly about me, I was born in Japan, and when I was about 2 years old, because of my father's work, we moved to the United States, and I went to school in. We lived in Connecticut for a bit, and I was living in Connecticut, and from there we moved to the United Kingdom as well. So I lived in the United Kingdom for about 3 years or so. And we came back to the US, and I went to university in the US. But after I graduated, I came back to Japan. And after some years, I'm now living in Japan and in Tokyo right now. So
Okay.
that's it in a nutshell, I suppose.
Well, that explains why you have really no accent whatsoever. I've met a lot of Japanese
Oh,
people, English speakers.
thank you.
In fact, I think I talked about my sojourn to Epcot, Japan, which I know that doesn't mean like I went to Japan, but yeah, very, very clean accent, and probably couldn't tell.
Thank you very much.
So how'd you get into Criterion? Was that here in the States when you lived here, or?
Oh, yes. I think it's one of those things where, Criterion has always been around, I suppose. I was in college when Criterion first started to release the DVDs. So when I was in college, I was working in this sort of film center library that my college has. And the one of the things that they archived were the Criterion Collection laser discs, among other titles, of course. And so my boss at the time, I remember, was really into Criterion Collection laser discs, and they were really expensive, being like $100 or so.
They
So
were.
they're way yeah way beyond my student budget at the time. But I was able to access those and watch Citizen Kane on laser disc, and it was such a big deal at the time. This was in the late. Maybe mid to late 90s. So it was such a big deal to have a film that you could watch in your home that was widescreen. And then the next thing was it was widescreen with a commentary. That was a huge deal at the time. So it was really interesting. And then as time progressed and the Criterion Collection grew, here we are today. And it's just it's a commonplace thing now. It's amazing to think about, though.
It is, and really, those are the days of the horror days of pan and scan. Remember that, Mark? I know. Boy, who conceived that? It's probably the same guy that's keeping the devils.
That's right. Take that guy out.
He is the enemy of all film. So, and Dice K, how did you get into? Well, how'd you get into just being a cinephile? Because you mentioned working in the film library. I mean, did you just cling to it at a young age, find art films?
Yeah, I think so. I was living in the United States at the time, and maybe I was in middle school or just starting high school when I started to be able to rent videos from our local library. So it would be watching, I remember we rented Yojimbo, the Kurosawa film, from the local library. That was a VHS tape. Mm. And that was my first Kurosawa film. And I think that was the, yeah, fantastic. I think that was the one. That was when I realized that, watching films is, it's a pretty interesting thing. And I think, that started it all, I suppose.
It's enriched our lives. Well,
certainly has.
Yeah, that's great. And so, I have a question for Daisuke. I was just curious, and maybe you answered this in one of your videos, but I noticed in your beautiful, beautiful shells, they are beautiful.
Yes, they are.
That you have, I don't know if it's all the titles, but a number of them, you have both the DVD and the Blu-ray, and it looks like a number of them are the same release. You know, not like keeping the old DVD. And then getting the new Blu-ray version if it's upgraded or something. So I was curious about that. Is that a collector decision or?
Oh, Mark, that you're very astute. That's a really good observation of you. Yeah, I haven't really talked about my collecting philosophy, as it were. But generally speaking, yes. So I am complete regarding the Criterion Collection DVDs and Blu-rays, and I made a little kind of decision a while back, which I'm not sure if it was a good decision now that I think about it, but it's basically, you know, the logo, the Criterion Collection logo, there's the black bar logo, and then there is the line logo, and then there's the wacky C logo.
Mm-hmm.
So what I decided was to collect all of the releases of one title if they were released with different logos.
Interesting. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. So that means, for example, the 400 Blows, you know, that has mm-hmm. the black bar logo. That also has, I think, the line logo. I think so.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, wait a minute. I think it does. No, actually, no. Let me take that back. So, for example, Beauty and the Beast, the mm-hmm. Cocteau film, the black bar logo. That also has the line logo, and that was also released on Blu-ray. So I have all three of those.
All three.
So,
okay. Yeah.
And so even if the cover is the same, you know, for instance, if the cover the cover design is the same between one release and another, and the difference is only, let's say, the Criterion logo, I'll still get both of those.
Wow.
Because I made that, I don't know. I don't know if it was a wise or foolish decision, I'm not sure, but I made that decision a while back when I decided to collect these things in earnest, as it were.
Wow. I think that's Keith like... will really appreciate that, Keith Enright, because he likes
will,
different
yeah.
versions of collecting, so that may be a new one for him. So
I think that might be a new one. I'm sure he'll listen, but I know he's been traveling a lot, so I'll have to tag him. Yeah, that's the logo thing. We had somebody in the groups that was really obsessed with film logos. Also really said some nasty things about his sister, too, so...
I love how this is all connected.
This is all random. I hope you,
logos and sisters.
I don't know if you have a sister, Daisuke, but hopefully you're nicer.
No, I don't know.
Okay. Anyway, so Daisuke, and now you've been. Actually, before I get to your videos, just curious. In Japan, is there much? Does Criterion have much of a stamp? I mean, are you kind of an outlier there, being a collector? I'm sure there are plenty of film buffs.
That's a really good question. There are people, I'm in Tokyo, so I don't know if Tokyo is representative of all of Japan. I don't think it is, but as far as the Tokyo scene is concerned, yeah, probably not. But as far as the Tokyo scene is concerned, there are places in Tokyo where one can purchase, for instance, the latest releases of Criterion Blu-rays. The idea being that the Blu-ray, what is it, the region?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the same.
The region is the same. Yes. The DVD zone is different between, let's say, the United States and Japan, but the Blu-ray region is the same. Okay. So one can buy a Blu-ray from the United States and play it on a Japanese player without any issue. So that means there are some stores, actual physical stores, and also places online where one can purchase let's say Criterion Blu-rays. The price is a little bit expensive for my point of view. So I actually order them through, I used to do them through the Barnes & Noble site, but now I do all of my shopping through Amazon mainly. So
Amazon US?
US, yes.
Okay. And is that pretty reasonable?
Fairly reasonable. It's you have to be a little bit careful, but you know, if you order too many things at one time, you know, it might maybe people at customs might be might be interested in looking at what this package is. But as long as it's something like maybe an order of less than, let's say, $100 at a time, then that's usually pretty doable from my point of view. I used to order from the Barnes & Noble site, and actually, you know, now that we are in the midst of the Barnes & Noble sale, I would have ordered through the Barnes & Noble sale online in the past and still have gotten the 50% discount. But the shipping was a real pain, because Barnes & Noble really took, I mean, it would be maybe a month or 6 weeks from when I ordered it to the time the package would arrive. So
They also changed the shipping rates a couple years ago, and I remember they were pretty punitive. Compared, I don't know how it compared. I don't live on the other side of the planet from myself. That would be impossible.
I'd love to.
That would
see
be really
that.
Interesting. If it were possible, I'd love to see that, Aaron.
Yeah, well, that may be a film pitch. And you started making some videos, and I have to be honest, I have a lot of competition for my time, so I've only seen snippets. I haven't seen any full. I've seen some of the shorter videos, and then you put together a pretty lengthy video of your favorite films, and I watched probably a good portion of that this morning. So, is this something just a way of expressing your hobby? Is this something you're going to keep up, or?
Yeah, thank you very much, by the way, for watching them. I know that you're busy, so I really appreciate it.
That sounds rude.
No, really, I really am appreciative. Thank you. It's exactly what you said, Aaron. It's just a way for me to try to. I guess it was maybe two reasons. I think one was when I joined Facebook very recently. I wanted to. I always liked it when people showed their face. And express their maybe their opinion or comment, maybe in a video or with pictures. So I thought the least I could do was show my own face when I made some comments as well. Mm-hmm. And that turned into thinking about what other ways I could do. What other ways I could show my love and appreciation for all things Criterion. And what I came up with was just creating some videos and putting them on YouTube. So I'm really appreciative of the feedback from the community. It's been really great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's really good content. And personally, I like to hide my face. that's why I go audio only. All right, what do you think, Mark? Should we start doing video?
Yeah, let's do it. We'll lose about half our listeners once they see us on a regular basis.
Not at all. It'll grow exponentially, I'm sure.
The one thing you have is you basically have your own closet, Criterion closet. So you're really doing closet videos. In fact, one thing I noticed when you did your favorite films is you kind of did it in the format of the closet video, pulling them off the shelf. Was that intentional?
No, completely coincidental. But I do love those Criterion Collection closet videos, I must admit, yes. But completely, not intentional in the slightest.
Well, awesome. Well, it's great to have you here, and what do you guys say we dip into some Criterion stuff?
Sounds good. That's what we're here for, I think, right?
Awesome.
We could just talk about, Japanese mascots for an hour. What do you think?
I'd like to, we could do that. I'd like to write that screenplay of you on the other side of the world from yourself.
Let's just flesh that out. It'll be a writing meeting. Perfect. All right. Well, we're in the middle of the Barnes & Noble sale, and we'll get to that in a second. But first, I wanted to get your thoughts. So it's been a couple of weeks, but we had the September announcements. And Mark and I, we had our little Patreon special. So I know your opinions, but if you don't mind kind of giving me a summary. But first, I'd like to hear from you, Dice K. Just to recap, we have September, they announced a Bergman, Scenes from a Marriage. It won't be the last time we mention Bergman on this show. Then Coldwater, My Man Godfrey, A Raisin in the Sun, and then Andrei Rublev. So, Dace K., what do you think of the September slate?
Oh, magnificent. You know, Criterion does it again. You know, I love, you know, all eyes go on to Andrei Rublev, you know, undoubtedly. But, you know, the more that one thinks about the other releases, the more one realizes that they are really all phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. Can't wait for September.
Me too. And by the way, another praising Lisi comment is that the cool thing is it's always nerve-wracking having somebody on the show for release date because you don't want them to just not know anything. But she'd seen every single one.
Yeah.
So, way to go, Lisi. So,
fantastic.
Yeah, quite a slate. What do you think, Mark? I know we kind of did our unveiling, but now that they've settled in some.
Yeah, I thought maybe, you know, I was looking at them and I thought maybe I'd just share a couple of little tidbits because if people, especially in the upgrades, because if people have the DVDs, whether they want to, you know, sell them, donate them, give them away, whatever they want to do, I'm pretty excited about this slate. I really think the two I'm most excited about are actually Andrei Rublev and Cold Water. Really looking forward to some more Asayas. But it could be the wording, but it seems it's a little bit odd. It looks like the Andrei Rublev Blue doesn't include from the DVD, which has been, you know, so panned. There's an interview with Tarkovsky, a video essay on the filmmaker's work by Professor Petrik. And there's a timeline featuring key events in Russian history, plus the lives and works of Andrei Rublev and Tarkovsky. And again, unless those are all called something else in the new version, I spent a few minutes trying to cross-reference. So it looks like there may be supplements that are different. So just a heads up, you know, people, if you want to be complete, you might want to hang on to that DVD and just, you know, watch the movie on the Blu-ray and, you know, check out the supplements on the DVD.
All right, which logo on the DVD? It's got to be the old line logo, right?
Yeah, Daisuke? Yes, I believe so.
The black bar, I think.
The black bar. Wow. Okay.
Yep. Right.
Yeah, Rublev is going to be a huge release. But all right, let's see.
My man Gottfried is similar too, in that the Blu-ray doesn't seem to include the audio commentary, which is again a little odd. So that's from the film Historia, Bob Gilpin. And of course, they never seem to have the production stills on Blu-rays anymore, but that is on the DVD. So again, you know, might be one to keep. And Scenes from a Marriage is looks like a straight supplement port. So I think you're good to just offload the DVD if you want, or as David did during his pack or his reshelving video after the Criterion sale. I remember him throwing his Virgin Spring DVD. So stop it.
Well,
you might want to do that with Scenes of a Marriage.
All right. Well, I'm gonna keep mine, but yeah. In fact, we'll be talking Virgin Spring in a minute as well. Well, might as well transition into the release slate. So we're recording this on the first day of July. So it'll probably come out. We have a holiday here in the States on the July 4th. So I imagine this will probably come out after that because people are going to be barbecuing or I don't know what do people do, watching fireworks. I don't know, boring stuff. So right. Holiday week, but But for now, although Patreon people will hear it today. So we just had Elsir and Bowling for Columbine come out a couple weeks ago, and then we had Female Trouble and The Virgin Spring come out this past week. So Dice K, well, actually, speaking of the buying the locally in Japan, will it take a while for you to be able to access these, or could you walk into a store right now and buy Virgin Spring?
Oh, I probably could. There's one store in Tokyo that's really good about that, so I probably could, but I'd have to pay maybe about $50 for those titles.
I would not do that unless you can't wait. I would not do that.
yeah. I've already ordered mine, so they're on the way. Actually, Elsir and Bowling for Columbine arrived in the mail a couple days ago.
Oh, that's relatively quick. And have you seen any of these? Or
I've put in Elsir as soon as I got it, and yes, just the first time I saw it, and I don't want to say anything more for people who haven't seen it, but it's a real wonderful piece, wonderful. And yeah. Bowling for Columbine, yes, I saw that when it was first released, and you know, I haven't seen it since. But you know, I'm actually glad Michael Moore is getting some attention in the Criterion collection. Mm-hmm. I know he's pretty controversial, but yeah, I think Bowling for Columbine is a worthy one. That interview he does with Marilyn Manson is stunning. Absolutely stunning.
I don't remember that. I do want to revisit that. Of course, that's living in the U.S. That's a sensitive subject. Daisuke, stay in Tokyo and don't come back until while there are guns. I shouldn't make light of that. Mark, any thoughts on the recent releases?
Yeah, I haven't. I've been waiting for the sale to pick all these up, so I'm looking forward to it. I actually went this week, and it was very well picked over. So none of these were in the store, so I'm going to have to wait on those. But
very well picked over. I like that.
Yeah, extremely. And it's mostly the new releases. But I think I'm probably most excited to see Elsor, and I'm probably going to watch. I watched Multiple Maniacs with our friend Eric Ford, so I think I'm going to plan another guy's evening to watch Female Trouble. I think that's
Eric like Multiple Maniacs?
Yeah, he's a big Waters fan, and I think he may have seen that one years ago in some VHS or other print that was not legal, something like that. But he really likes Waters, and that was kind of my reason for watching Waters movies. So I'm looking forward to checking this one out.
Yeah. Side note: John Waters approved my Bowling for Columbine copy. I'm glad that, he's pleased with the release. That's a joke. I guess a lot of those shipped out with John Waters stickers. So, oops. I guess mistakes happen. That's what we call execution risk, fellas. Look it up. Then this slate, now that we're in July, is we have the Dietrich and von Sternberg set in Hollywood coming out this week. That's actually coming out in a couple days, and mine is shipped. I can't wait to dig it into this. Dice K, have you already ordered this from the sale?
It's ordered through Amazon.
Okay. Yeah, because they price match, and I guess you'll get it a lot quicker, right? That's smart.
Yeah.
And then after that, we have Dragon Inn. So that's a King Hu movie. Yeah, I'll just jump ball. Anybody seen it?
It's great. It's really good. I think it was – I saw this before the other one I'm forgetting the name of, the really popular one.
Touch of Zen.
Thank you. Yeah, and I think it's, it's shorter and it's tight. It's a really good film. It's kind of a single location. It's great. I think folks will be pleasantly surprised.
Very, very cool. Well, I have not seen it, but I love Touch of Zen, and so it's going to be an exciting month. All right, well, let's talk about some news. So release news, and I don't know if this is going to impact you, Dice K, but on October 2nd, there's going to be standalone Rafifi and Ace in the Hole releases. So there's splitting those apart from dual format. So I guess, thanks to Carl Edward Petrosian, I hope I got that right, for the shout-out on that in the Facebook group. Do you, Dice K, with the dual format, do you just stick with the original release?
When you say original release, you mean the dual format release?
Right, or will you buy the standalone editions?
I'm saying now that I won't buy the standalone editions, but that might change tomorrow.
That's the correct answer, is you won't. You shouldn't.
<Yes. laughs> I'm a big fan of the dual format releases, by the way. I know that they don't get a lot of love.
I love them.
I do, too. I think they're
two
really
lovers
great.
Here.
I love opening them, and I love the fact that I always go for the Blu-ray, but I keep – well, not actually, no, I always go for the DVD, and I'll keep the Blu-ray for a rainy day, as it were, you know. I love having that choice and just keeping one format maybe untouched and just relying on the other format when I watch that particular title on the dual format release.
But, it's like saving dessert. Yeah. That's
– Yeah, exactly, yeah.
What about you, Mark? Well, I know you're not going to buy the standalone.
No, yeah, I'm going to keep that. I mean, it's just a little tear every time they break them up, because I do love the format. So it's
a little tear. I
know I've talked about it before, but it's the DVD is nice because you can give it to a friend. You can, in the case of Keith's story, I think I've told, where he only has a DVD player downstairs and another TV up somewhere, it gives you the option for extended portability. So tier for dual format, but glad that they are not going out of print there. They will still be available.
Yep. And then we just had a newsletter clue, which I did not get right away because I'm not a big rap fan. I've talked about this with Matt a little bit. So Notorious B.I.G. is not somebody I'm really Biggie Smalls, whatever. I've never really been a huge fan, although, you know, living in America, you can't avoid the pop culture. I don't know, Dice K, is Notorious B.I.G. somebody on your radar?
I'm ashamed to say no.
Don't be ashamed. You're in good company. What about you, Mark?
No, same. I mean, I know him, but I was never really a listener. I was just talking about this earlier. I was more of a rap and hip hop fan in the early 90s, my early days. So I missed out on Biggie Smalls.
Same here. Old school. But although I like some of the modern. But anyway, I'm not going to get into rap. But it is Notorious B.I.G. And it's pretty clear that the clue is for Notorious by Alfred Hitchcock. So that's it's a rare clue for an upgrade, but I think it's a big deal for that coming back. I think that was one that we speculated. Well, I think we've had an idea. It's been happening for a while, but still. Yeah, so big deal. Dice K, what do you think of Notorious?
Yes, it's a long time coming, I think. It's that film, Notorious. Well, at first it started with Rebecca, right? The Blu-ray resurrection and
that's
upgrade
yep.
A while back, and now it's Notorious, which is fantastic. And what's left now? Is it Spellbound?
Spellbound, that's
the one.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm glad they're. I hope they will just give Notorious the treatment like they did Rebecca. And rather than trying to just bundle it with Spellbound, because they're really different type of movies. I think Spellbound you could do so much more. I would love to hear like a psychologist talk about Spellbound, like an academic film psychologist. What do you think, Mark?
Yeah, Notorious, instantly one of my favorite Hitchcocks. Went on a bender a few years ago, and that rose up to the top or very well close to it. So we're kind of revisiting some of those with the kids, and I'm not sure this one will be as much in their wheelhouse because it's more of a spy, it's got the romance in it. But I just love it. It's fantastic. Great acting. It's one of his best. So yeah, very excited about this clue.
Be honest with you, it's one of the first Hitchcocks I saw, and I don't remember it too well. I hate to say it. It's probably one of those, in fact, I'm teasing a story I'll tell in a little bit, that I'll start watching, and then within 5 minutes I'll be like, oh, yeah, of course I remember this. It's amazing. But
like your short take. Yeah.
Like my short take, yeah. So anyway, Notorious, hopefully soon. And then, as already mentioned, the Barnes & Noble sale started early. What's weird is we actually didn't get a lot of heads up on this. And I wondered, I think the reason is because they laid off so many people a few months ago. And we did talk about the Barnes & Noble's challenges. So kind of what they did is they laid off like all the managers, the people with tenure, and like the people that stock the shelves. So those are probably a lot of the people that would leak that info. And I think they're just operating with a slim staff, and they're not, people aren't on Reddit. But it started on June 28th. So Dice K, you already mentioned that you ordered from Amazon. Are you going to partake in the Barnes & Noble sale, or are you good?
I'm good now, but I'm enjoying all the photos of people and their Barnes & Noble hauls. I'm really enjoying seeing those. So I'm living vicariously through them.
Yeah.
So that's actually interesting. So do you enjoy those?
Yeah, I
that's
do,
a leading question.
I enjoy all of them, and I love I shouldn't say love, because that might I'll say love. I love how sometimes the photos will be someone earnestly saying how much they've gotten all these great titles, blah blah blah, and it's like maybe 10 titles, and just one title someone will pick out and say, I don't like that one, and it'll just start a whole thing.
That's why you're the troll whisperer. That's when
the human drama that can occur just from a simple Criterion Collection Barnes and Noble Hall is astounding to me. It's amazing.
It happens. Yeah. What do you think of Hall post, Mark?
I'm not really a fan because I've seen so many, but I will say I did see one recently. I think it was on the Reddit thread of someone who had posted that they bought like 6 Westerns. So if you that's can cool. pick a theme yeah. somehow, that's kind of cool. I guess the other thing I would say for Hall posts is make a video and do a song, do a rap, like
that one guy.
I was singing all day yesterday.
Be creative. I don't want to throw shade, because at one point I posted Hall videos. Of course, mine were like bricks. They were big hauls. But I looked on Reddit today, in the Criterion Reddit, and the first two pages were nothing but Hall pictures. So even though I like the passion, but I just don't like the volume of them. They kind of drown out everything else. And there was another group where somebody was, well, no, we're not even going to get to that. So anyway, Mark, how are you handling this Barnes & Noble sale?
Yeah, it's all for, as I think I mentioned before, complete, but, a little bit behind since the February sale. So I'm getting caught up on those. I did go into my store, and as expected, when the sale started, it was very well picked over. Saw a couple people with armloads going out as I was coming in. So I find it makes, wow. And I told my friend Keith, because he and I usually make a jaunt over at some point to pick up a few, that I find it's usually best to wait a week or two until they've restocked and, everyone's kind of stocked up and you can,
that's interesting.
Go get what you want. Yeah.
There are no people grabbing armloads of Criterions here in Columbia, South Carolina. What about Tokyo, Daisuke? Are armloads of Criterions being walked out with?
Oh, man, I wish. I wish I could see someone with an armload of Criterions under there, walking in Tokyo. That would make my day. Awesome. I have a question, though, about the Barnes & Noble says. I mean, can for example, can one get the Olympics box set?
Absolutely.
50% off?
Great
50%
question.
50% off. Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
Do you have that yet?
I'm not sure if my local one had it, but yep.
I'm sorry?
Do you have the Olympic box set?
I do, yes. And I'm about, I'm about 30% the way through. Slowly but surely getting through that.
Sorry, I'm searching for it right now. And, $200. So, well, yeah.
Wow.
We've already talked about the Olympics extensively, but you're in for a treat. Very, very good.
Yeah, I think that's, one of the reasons. Well, I mean, when they release box sets usually in November, one is to coincide with a sale and for, Christmas buying too. So, it's the timing's usually good. And it's great we're getting, the Dietrich set in July too.
So. That's right, yeah. So
it seems like they know.
Well, and I took credit for this on one of the Facebook groups, but when I saw the sale happen early, I immediately canceled my Amazon order for the Dietrich set, which was about $80, and bought it from Barnes & Noble, which was about $60, and I saved $20. And when I canceled my Amazon, I said, it asked why, and I said, found cheaper somewhere else. And within hours, I'm fully taking credit, I did this. Within hours, Amazon had price matched. I'm sure plenty of people did that. But
it makes a difference. Yeah, that's how they do it a lot of times. But yeah,
they've done that a bunch. Yeah, so that makes it easier for you, Daisuke. Yeah, you can order off Amazon and get it quicker. Although, part of me feels guilty. I did buy the entire July slate off Barnes & Noble, and I prefer Amazon, but I just kind of want them to stick around. So it's like a pity purchase.
Nice. That's nice of you.
Oh, well, I don't know. All right. So let's move on. Let's get into some actual news. It's been a couple weeks because I went out of town last week. But our good friend Moise Chiland teased that he saw Wes Anderson at SXSW there in Austin. And he said that Wes Anderson is getting ready to start working on a Criterion edition of Grand Budapest Hotel. Nobody wants that, right?
No, we haven't been asking.
Nobody wants that. I think people are already asking about Isle of Dogs. Speaking of Japan, have you seen Isle of Dogs?
Daisuke? No, I haven't. I haven't seen it yet. It has already been released in theaters, and I think it came and went, but I haven't seen it yet. No.
Okay. Anyway, have you seen Grand Budapest Hotel? Or do I need to ask?
Yes. Yes, I have, and I think it's wonderful.
Yeah, I agree. We also had a loss this week. Well, actually, the week before last, and this one actually kind of hit close to home. We lost Coco the Talking Gorilla.
Yeah.
And so if people don't know, that's I forget the spine number, but it's I think a mid-tier DVD spine. It was
early 100s, if I remember.
Yeah.
No, I think it's actually 300s, something like that.
Is it?
Before, okay. Yeah, it's around the Romare set, I want to say.
That sounds right, yeah. So it's Barbet Schroeder. He's French. I don't know how to pronounce it. I think he's French, right? Or is he German?
Yes. Yeah. I'm pretty sure he's French.
It's his documentary about Coco. This was from the late 70s. I believe it was 78. I forget the actual.
It is 78. Yeah. Yeah, Coco was born in 71.
So, yeah, Coco was then being taught sign language by, I think it was Penny Patterson. Was that the name of the grad student at the time? I saw now she's a... she got her degree, so of course she did. And I rewatched Coco just to see, but yeah, Coco's gone. So are you a fan of Coco? Okay.
Yes. Hello.
I guess that would be a no. We don't care about Coco.
Poor Coco.
I guess we were just having a moment of silence, as it were.
That's
Coco.
Exactly what it was.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen Coco?
Yes, the Criterion release, yes.
Yeah, me too. I rewatched it this week. What about you, Mark?
Coco is going to come up again in a little bit, so I'll save my thoughts.
Okay, well, then I'll save mine too. So, okay, well, RIP Coco. I don't know the lifespan for gorillas, but I'm guessing it's probably about now.
She died a little early, I think is what they said. Like, she was at the... like maybe right at the average. So it was it like 46 years. So I think it's like, you know, high 40s to 50 is average. So.
Yeah. You kind of wonder if it's different in captivity. I think Coco is a very unique, I guess, specimen. I can't think of another word, but yeah, because she grew up as a human really, or as close as a gorilla has ever probably been. Oh, there was also a tweet about the mirror. Or about, is it The Mirror or just Mirror by Tarkovsky from Janus Films? So that looks like we're going to get Mirror by Tarkovsky. I'm guessing that means they'll probably tour it. So what do you think about Tarkovsky, Dice K?
Yes, you know, I have avoided talking about Tarkovsky in my Facebook posts because, you know, it's like... I don't know. He's too great for me to even try to tackle. You know, I have nothing but awe and respect for his work. And this is the first time I've heard about this tweet about the mirror. So if indeed this is going to be a release in the future, and quite possibly a Blu-ray from Criterion, then that is a cause for great celebration for sure.
And it is The Mirror. Have you seen The Mirror or Zircalo?
Are you talking? Yes. Yes, I have the Kino DVD. Is it Kino?
It is. Yeah.
It's quite a difficult film to watch because it's very dark in some places. Mm-hmm. But despite those issues visually with that particular DVD, of course, it's just one of those you just fall into the film and you just you just go with the flow and, you know, nothing like it. Absolutely nothing like it. It's going to be amazing if it comes out on Blu-ray, that's for sure.
It is. What do you think, Mark?
Yeah, I mean, this one has a lot of love. Some folks call it their favorite, and I have seen it. I think I was a little tired or didn't completely get on its wavelength, so I really appreciated it. It was just, I think I'd watched a lot of Tarkovsky around it, and so he's one of those directors, I think maybe more than any other, maybe Bergman's there too, but I just think... Mm. His movies, I wouldn't say demand, but I just want to watch his movies many, many, many times because I know I'm going to get a lot out of them. So this is great news.
Me too, yeah. So I can't wait for that. Rublev now, so hopefully Mirror next, Rublev in September. And then, so speaking of Janus, Wanda by Barbara Loden is going to tour. So they released a trailer, and I watched the trailer. I haven't seen the film. Barbara Loden is known to me. I think she's more known as a stage actress. Am I right?
Yes.
It kind of looks like Cassavetes-ish. So Dice K, you seem pretty enthused. Have you seen this or?
Yes, I have the DVD. I think it's a French DVD that I got from Amazon France. And the reason why I got that was because, you know, it's a very famous film, and it's actually a film that appears pretty high up on the Sight and Sound, BFI Sight and Sound, you know, greatest films of all time.
That's right.
Yes, and that was the main reason why I sought it out, and I was completely taken aback at how just stunning the film is. You know, Barbara Loden, oh man, just she left us too soon. You know, she could have had a marvelous film career with a wealth of films, but the fact that she left us with this great film, Wanda, is alone is worth it, I think.
Yeah, it's her only film. So, Mark, yes. any thoughts on Wanda?
Yeah, I mean, that's a really good... I was trying to really place where I felt the influence may be or what kind of film looked like. I mean, it almost looks like a documentary.
Yeah, kind of.
The style of it. So, yeah, I mean, this looks just fantastic. And the fact that she's, you know, wrote, directed, and starred, this just seems like a really nice oddity. And I didn't realize it was on the list, so... I'm trying to find out where it lands. So yeah, hopefully it looks like. I mean, if this is coming from Janice, I would assume this is coming late this year, early next year.
Yeah, that's what I think. Yeah. So, and I don't know when she passed, but I know she passed young. But I think it didn't do well, and I think that's probably that's one of the perils of independent filmmaking is that sometimes you don't make a profit, and you know sometimes you do a good job and it might take 40 years for the recognition. It's probably been sooner than that if she's on the Sight and Sound, but I'll move on. There was a little mistake on the Criterion website, and L.M. Klimov's Come and See is on the Criterion website. I just clicked it. It doesn't have any information, but it looks, and this is one of those, they've teased us so much, and I know this one's probably a mistake, but I think we've been talking about this for 2 years, Mark. What do you think?
Yeah, I know. It's out there on, the only Blu-ray is actually from Japan. I don't know if you own this one, Daisuke, or have seen it, but it's from distributor IVC.
Did you say yes? Yeah. Okay. Daisuke, how many Blu-rays and DVDs do you have, do you know?
Oh my goodness! I'm afraid to count. It's not as much as one might think, and I think there are people out there who have way more than I do. But you know, if I have a bunch of Arrows and a bunch of I have the Indicator Powerhouse series as well as the Masters of Cinema Blu-rays. But yeah, it has to be definitely over 1,000.
Okay, well, that's
definitely, yeah, maybe more.
I'll bet it's more if you have all that. So so yeah, Come and See. Have you seen it? Have you come and seen it, Daisuke?
Yes, I have. Man, this is a haunting film, isn't it? It's just it's horrifying in many places, and it's haunting and chilling. And if this is going to come to Criterion. Oh man, I can't wait to hear what people's reactions to it are going to be.
Yeah, I'm going to just leave it there because I'm not that we'll spoil it too much, but yeah, this is so impactful that I really just want to, I almost want to like see. I mean, you can't do a reaction video because it's a long film, but I think we're going to have like a big discussion of that one, and just people that are new to it see what and some people might. You know, some people might not be human and might not get taken by this. And then there's Film Forum is showing Fists in the Pocket, Italian film, which it's been a while, but I've seen that and I enjoyed it quite a bit. We're running a little long, so I'm going to just kind of breeze through some of these other hints. Then there's also Film Foundation is announced some new titles. Pijote, is that? 1980, Hector Babanco, then Prisioneros de la Tierra by Mario Soffici, and Chronique de Anne de Brez. But so again,
amazing.
Yeah, pretty good. I think my Japanese is better than everything.
I think you're right.
And then there's also a Criterion forum snipped out that Makunaima is coming in 1969. So I'll just.
Oh, Makunaima? Is that right?
That sounds
probably,
better. Yeah.
Probably better than mine.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. I saw that in college. Oh, wow. That's a great film. That is a really great film.
Cool. What they said is that. So that's a Brazilian film, right?
Yes, yes.
Mm.
Somebody just confirmed. Let's see.
It was at a lecture.
I'm sorry. The Criterion forum people found it's going to be released in a Kino box set. So that's still great, but not Criterion. Mm. With Joaquin
still great,
Pedro
yes.
de Andrade films. You'll get to see this. So you recommend it?
I do. Brazilian cinema. It's something that I think. You know, we should get more exposure to because it's a very interesting, wonderful, wonderful. I mean, I'm not an expert in Brazilian cinema by far, but yeah, the more Brazilian films, the better, you know, I say.
More Brazilian films, go Criterion, thank you. any thoughts on the Film Foundation or you got any thoughts, Mark?
Yeah, I mean, I just looking at these, I know Pioque. Pixote is highly regarded from Brazil, and the second one I won't try to pronounce. It only has 81 ratings from Argentina, it just makes me feel like I was looking at these. Is 2019 going to be the year of Brazilian film? But I didn't catch that Makunaima was from Kino because I was thinking, well, this might be part of the next WCP. Box set, or is it going to be its own box set? So yeah, it's great.
Yeah, I think the way this the evolution of this is that in 2006 there was a rumor from a an NYU professor that Criterion is going to be releasing it. So again, 2006. It's
wow.
Now
okay.
So I think something happened with the rights there, but now it's going to be Kino. So, all right. Well, you guys want to talk some short takes? Dice K, our guest. Well, you're our guest too, Mark. But Dice K's first time. You want to start?
Oh, okay. So, short takes is where we talk about a Criterion title that we've seen recently. Is that right?
Anything? Yeah. Anything you've seen recently? So.
Okay. I've seen a bunch, but the one I wanted to mention is the Criterion out of print release of Howard's End.
Okay.
Excellent.
Yes.
Yeah.
Merchant. I'm on a Merchant Ivory kick of late, and so I'm revisiting the Merchant Ivory films that were released by Criterion a while back, including A Room with a View, and also the Howard's End Blu-ray, and also those DVDs that they released, but are now out of print, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Are you going to buy?
I've seen those.
Sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead, Mark.
No, go ahead, Aaron.
Well, I was going to ask if he was going to buy the Coen, because Coen is restoring, and we already have Howard's End, and I think we're getting Morris. We might already have it.
I don't have the Coen Blu-ray. Is it a Blu-ray of Howard's End? Is that right?
There's
I don't have that.
Yeah, because it's out of print from Criterion. Anyway. I haven't watched it yet, so I'm sure it's great.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Mark.
Morris is wonderful, too. Yeah. I'm sorry to interrupt, Mark.
Morris is a very good film, yes.
I was just commenting on Maurice actually came out in September. I was thinking it wasn't out yet, but it came out from Coen in September. And I noticed that behind you in one of your videos, Dice K, is all the Merchant Ivory DVD. So it's very cool to see that. Nice visual.
Yeah,
thank you very much.
I want to see some of the lesser known ones, the ones that are out of print. I'd like to see good restorations of that. So that's where I think Coen. I don't think Criterion would upgrade every single one of them. If they had the rights, do you think they could do a Merchant Ivory box, or would they with 20 films? No.
Maybe. I mean, they have a few where they've done, three films, five films from a particular director. So that's, maybe they would do something larger. That would be the biggest thing from Coen if they did that, I think.
19 films. I meant Criterion if they had the rights.
Oh,
but, I think Coen will probably put them out individually because they will put out lesser known titles like from, say, Rene. They put out some of his. Mark, what's your short take?
Well, mine was tied into who we talked about earlier, Coco the Talking Gorilla. I figured it was time. I was trying to tie in Odette with what is going to be part of my piece of flair, but I only got halfway through it, just ran out of time, and it was Friday night, and my daughter seemed interested in Coco, so checked that out, and it was kind of hard to, you know, it's not usually something I would pick off the shelf and want to watch, so I'm really, you know, I don't like the reason why I watched it, but I'm glad I finally did. So,
oh, so you hadn't watched it before?
I hadn't seen it before.
Okay,
no, this is a first time. So it really got me where I like to be gotten, which is a little bit of existentialism. You know, just watching the two of them interact, and you know, thinking about man's place in the world. So that was
nice. Take note, that's listeners, great. If you want to know where Mark likes to be gotten, it is existentialism. It was amazing that this is 1978 and that they lived so for 40 something years with Penny. Penny remained in her, or Coco remained in Penny's care. What I'd love to see is a documentary now. A documentary that reflects on their 40 years together, because I did some reading on the internet. It sounds like quite a life, and I'm sure that they made a lot of breakthroughs. It looks like they did a little celebrity. I saw that she was friends with Mr. Rogers and Robin Williams. That was pretty cute. So any comments on Coco, Dice K?
Oh yeah, it's a really lovely film, isn't it? It's kind of one of those that I wouldn't have seen otherwise had it not been for the Criterion Collection. But really quite illuminating.
Yeah, about human nature, or actually maybe not human, or people. You know, just what it means to be a person. So
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
I could go. I'm actually reading a book called Sapiens right now. I'm sure some people have read it. Which I won't get into that. It's not very much. It doesn't tie into film, but it's all about existence and where we come from. And this film kind of spoke to that quite a bit. So all right. Well, should I get to mine?
Yeah.
I will say that Filmstruck trumped me on this a little bit. God, I gotta stop saying that word. Filmstruck stole my thunder. I don't know if I'm gonna leave that in.
You should.
Well, what I did is I watched a couple weeks ago. I got the Arrow release of Last House on the Left, and I had never seen it. I pre-ordered it, and I'd forgotten the tie-in with Virgin Spring. I don't know why, but because I should have remembered that. But it arrived, and that's when I thought a horror movie is an easier film to watch on, say, a weeknight. So I watched Last House on the Left, and then and found it disturbing, but okay, you know. Disturbing and groundbreaking at the same time, if that makes sense. And actually, it holds up today. You know, even for a four-year-old movie, it's still pretty shocking. But I'd forgotten about The Virgin Spring, but I got it this week, and I was like, oh, right, that was essentially a remake of The Virgin Spring, which was this Bergman I had not seen. And how awesome is it to get a Blu-ray version of a Bergman in 4K that you haven't seen? Hopefully that will happen again in a couple months. We'll see. So I pretty much put it in right away, thinking, oh, yeah, brand new Bergman. Within 15 minutes, I realized I've seen this before. And I couldn't believe that I'd forgotten and hadn't made the connection with Last House on the Left. But, so I watched the new The Virgin Spring, and it is beautiful, a beautiful print. I think the extras are about the same. I didn't have a chance to look at all of them. Gorgeous, but it really... you can't make the comparison to Last House on the Left. It's not fair to Bergman, because there's so much more dimension and all the characters, especially all the peripheral characters, and the father, Max von Sydow. If you didn't know, the guy could act, and he kind of acted circles around the guy from Last House on the Left. Just such a multi-dimensional performance. And also I was tweeting with somebody about the, I forget the actress's name, but the one that plays the friend of the main girl. I was really blown away by this. Have you guys seen The Virgin Spring? I'm sure you have.
Mark?
I haven't. It's one of the, I've really been saving it. I've been waiting for the Blu-ray. So
really?
Putting it off and putting it off. Yep.
Well, it is, I think Bergman has experimented with horror before. I think Hour of the Wolf, maybe
That's, yeah.
Persona a little bit, like very
Sure.
artsy horror. This one is still artsy horror, but it still is for Bergman. I'm going to recommend you watch this before Last House on the Left.
Okay.
Daisuke, do you agree?
Oh, yes, I completely agree. Yes. In fact, I would go so far to say that I mean, I love Last House on the Left immensely. It's one of the key films, I think. Wes Craven, right?
It is, yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
But I would go so far to say that The Virgin Spring is, in some parts especially, is quite a bit more disturbing than
Yes.
Last House on the Left. Yes.
Interesting.
Some of the
Yeah.
choices that are made by the main characters there, I won't say anything more, but some of the choices that are made are just chilling, really
Yeah.
chilling. Yeah.
And there's a lot more character dimension in The
Yes.
Virgin Springs, so it is chilling and it's not shocking. I mean, there's not blood and gore, or I mean, there's maybe a tiny bit, but compared to Last House on the Left, there's not. But there's that human element. So
Yes.
the events that take place and the gravity, and there's one scene where I'll just say a character realizes something very, very disturbing, and that performance. And I'm not even going to say who that is because that's kind of a spoiler. You probably know Daisuke, and listeners that have seen it know exactly what I mean. They grabs on to just a piece of fabric, and it's one of the same thing happens in Last House on the Left, kinda. There's that same discovery, but yeah, nothing against the lady. Although I was kind of mixed on Last House on the Left. I respected it for being groundbreaking, but I just thought that like, yeah, I think what I found fulfilling in Virgin Spring was lacking in Last House on the Left. I just didn't know it when I saw it. So, all right, well, I guess you'll get to see that when you get it from Barnes & Noble, right, Mark?
Yeah, exactly. It's going to be in the player soon.
All right, well, we are not going to get into too much Filmstruck out of respect for our good friend Daisuke because you don't have Filmstruck. When are they going to have Filmstruck Japan? Now,
Oh, man.
do they have many streaming services over there?
There are a number of streaming there are a number of streaming services, yes, but to be perfectly honest, I'm not really into streaming yet.
Okay.
I'm purely a physical media guy. I've planted my I've planted my flag in that territory. So, but who knows what I'll feel in a month from now. But as far as right now, I think I'm glad that I don't have Filmstruck in Japan. Otherwise, my time would just be gone. I think I would just be stuck home watching all these great movies all the time.
Right.
I think
Never
it's
leave the
just
house. And
yeah.
we.
I'm so jealous of all these people who are talking about these great films that are available on Filmstruck. It's really awesome. It's a real great resource.
So, well, I said we're not going to talk about Filmstruck, but I want to talk a little bit about it. First off, the July slate was announced, and the reason I mentioned that that Criterion stole my thunders, they have a double feature of Virgin Spring and Last House on the Left. They also have one for Seventh Seal and Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, which is
Wow.
speaking of Bergman horror remakes. I'm
Or
kidding.
Bogus Journey, right? Yeah,
Or was it
it's
Bogus
isn't it?
Journey?
I think
Okay.
so.
Yes.
Yeah,
So
just
yeah,
checking.
July looks like a pretty neat month on Filmstruck. So I'm sure we'll get. Oh, also Marinair is doing a Adventures in Movie Going. So yeah,
Yeah.
it's those little things. I don't know if there are any native streaming services that are anything compare in any way, shape, or form, Daisuke. But yeah, if Filmstruck ever does come to Japan, I do highly recommend it. Although I think the language barrier would be pretty tough because Criterion probably doesn't produce any Japanese content. Although I know that they have people living in Japan that restore stuff. So you never know. Tony Raines could probably
Right.
pull his weight. Daisuke, if Filmstruck announced, would you buy it or would you subscribe?
Oh, yes, show me the door. Yeah, where do I sign? Yeah, of course, of
So
course.
you would get the
Yeah.
trial at least. We have somebody that won't get the trial.
Get the trial, Doug.
Get the trial, Doug. All right. So main channel. I'm not going to get into these. There's Yankee Doodle Dandy, Alexander and Zoltan Korda, James Cagney, Well, the Mysteries of Sicily was kind of interesting that they are gonna highlight a country. They highlight a, I guess it's a country. Well, it's not nationally a country, but it's a region. It's a
Yeah.
national. I guess it's a identified ethnicity. But then they had this thing on the main channel of FilmStruck called Director of the Century, which I think is a pretty bold statement. But of course, with it being Bergman 100, it makes sense. This is Ingmar Bergman. And so they have 44 Bergman films in the main channel right now. That includes, I think it's the number's misleading because I think it has every episode of Scenes from a Marriage. But yeah, this is pretty big deal. What do you think, Mark?
Wow, that's amazing. I'd missed that had gone up. So, wow.
Yeah, I haven't seen
That's...
people talk about it, but maybe it's just because there's so many hall posts to sift
Right,
through.
yeah. We're posting our physical media. We've kind of forgotten the digital for a bit, but that's
44
great.
films. That is amazing. That how can one find the time for this? This is amazing.
That's a great question.
It's tough, yeah. I mean, you'd have to do FilmStruck all the time to actually, even if you did, even if you watched FilmStruck all the time, I don't think you could watch everything because they have stuff coming in and out all the time. It's
Are we going to binge watch Bergman if the set comes out, Mark?
No.
Or Daisuke? I might. Yeah, it starts with so with the early work that's already on Eclipse, and it does have those MGM titles. So it has Shame, Hour of the Wolf. It also has The Right, which is I think is going to be coming in every episode of Scenes from a Marriage. So that's six episodes, and then the film. And yeah, From the Life of Marionettes, oh, all the Fanny and Alexander. So it's probably more like 35. So 35 is a nice round number. And it also has Bergman Island and Livin' Ingmar, the documentaries. So yeah, more Bergman go FilmStruck. Yeah.
Sounds good.
And I'm not even going to get into the Criterion Channel. We'll save that for a rainy day. So that's the show, gentlemen. Do you have a piece of flair? Daisuke, do you have a piece of flair? And a flair is just anything not Criterion that's film related.
Oh, okay. Let's see. I have it's related to the Merchant Ivory kick that I have. So I just bought the book, The Films of Merchant Ivory, by Robert Emmett Long, who actually he provided all the notes for the liner notes and the booklets for all the Merchant Ivory Criterion DVD
Oh, very cool.
releases. So yeah, so it's a really nice presentation. So and also I didn't mention this earlier, but I just wanted to thank what's his name, Peter Webb from the Criterion Now group for his wonderful post about Alicia Malone's book Backwards
Oh,
and
yeah.
in Heels. Based on that, his enthusiastic post of that book, I bought it and it came and I read it and it was a fantastic read. So thank you very much for that.
Wasn't it great? Yeah, we had Alicia on last year, and by the way, Peter's post, I did let Alicia know about that, and she was very appreciative. And I think she's actually working on a new book. So
Oh, that's great.
maybe she's doing the FilmStruck podcast. So, but maybe we can get her back to talk about that. I think I kind of know the subject. She's teased it a little bit, but I'm sure we'll get it more into that. But yeah, I would love to read about the Merchant Ivory. I just looked it up. It looks like it's out of print, but
Oh, is it? Oh.
you can get it for $1.45 at Amazon.com. So
Yeah, it's a
nice.
lovely, lovely large coffee table sized hardback and with great color pictures. And the text is really, really nice. There are blurbs about all the films up to, I want to say, Surviving Picasso.
Really?
So this was, yeah, it was released. This was a newly updated edition from 1997. So it's not completely current, obviously, but
Right.
a really nice reference.
Thank you. Your order has been placed. So I got it for $5. So there's a lot of used
Nice.
copies on Amazon US. Well, I guess I'll get into my piece of flair is well, so I'm if you guys didn't know, I'm kind of a film snob, and I'm kind of cynical and maybe a little too critical sometimes, a little picky about some things.
I hadn't
And
noticed.
oh, thank you. Thanks for lying. So there are some things that rub me the wrong way, and a lot of times sentimentality rubs me the wrong way. over sentimentality when you know, like they play up the score and they really play it up for that to get the tears out, or to make it hammy. Another thing I don't like often is narration, and somewhere that somebody mentioned that narration often covers for bad writing, so that it's kind of put in last minute. So that's actually, and narration can be good. So I like what was the Scorsese, The Age of Innocence, has great narration. So anyway, so my piece of flair is a movie I really really liked despite all those things, and it is called Wonder. So Wonder hit me where. Well, I'm not going to say this is where I like to be gotten, but I guess I'm just glad that a film like Wonder exists, that a message like the one that Wonder conveyed was put out there and received. So yeah, I am jaded, and it has a lot of the. It is manipulative. It had me. I think that's another one, kind of like Come and See. Well, you can't compare Come and See and Wonder. But I think as far as the emotional impact, maybe not too dissimilar, just different types of emotional impacts. But yeah, for people that don't know, it's about a kid that has to go through school being bullied. So I highly recommend it, especially people with kids. Maybe even watch it with the kids. I don't know. Mark, have you seen it?
Yeah, we watched it. It's a very popular book. Both my kids read it. They wanted to see it. And I'm with you, Aaron. I can kind of rail against... you know, that in some ways just the pulling on the heartstrings, but it's very well executed, and you know, including the voiceover, the narration, and how it's structured. You know, a couple maybe very small structural issues that maybe I would have done a little bit differently, maybe extended some pieces, but it's really good, and I think it's like the perfect family movie. It's really good.
Yeah, and I think it's the perfect movie just to watch if you're a human being. I'm just going to say that this is a message that people need to see, is that, that actions speak louder than words, and that there is an impact of your actions, however negative. So I wish a movie like this existed when I was in school. Not that I was anything, I did fine in school, but there were other kids, like, not... to the extent of Jacob Tremblay that I really felt bad for. And Tremblay was really, he's quite a gem, this little kid.
Something else.
Have you seen it, Dice K?
No, this is the film with Julia Roberts, is that right?
Yep,
and
Owen Wilson.
And Owen Wilson, yes. And the little boy, and the trailer has him with like the astronaut helmet or...
Has a disfigured face from a lot of surgeries, and then he has to go to school to deal with that. So highly recommend it. But...
Oh, great. I'll definitely try to see it based on, you know, your enthusiastic endorsement of it.
I'll say I watched it while I was out of town last weekend in a hotel on my iPad, which is not usually how I'd watch films, but mainstream films that's okay. And that's a good thing, because I did not want my wife to see me in that state.
I had trouble not being a blubbering mess with my kids in the room. So
Did they lose it?
No, no one did. We're not. My wife did. We got the tissues for her.
I could say,
a few times.
But, I didn't like. Yeah. I didn't gush, but it did get me more. I'm not a film crier, but yeah, it did make me well up. All right, so that is the show. So Dice K, thank you for joining us. I know it's very late there. It's very early here. Where can people find you online?
Thank you very much. Oh, thank you very much for inviting me. I really had a great time talking with the two of you. I guess if anyone wants to find me, you can find me on Facebook. I'm in the Criterion related groups and the Criterion Now group as well. I also have a YouTube channel, which is just my name, Daisuke Beppu. So you can just search for me there, and you can leave a comment or just message me. I always love to talk movies. So thank you very much.
And thank you for talking movies with us. And I'll put the link to your YouTube channel in the show notes, too, if anybody wants to click it and subscribe. But I do appreciate that you post your videos, too. So it's good for and not just in Now group, but all groups. So thank you for sharing all that. Love your thoughts on cinema. And Mark, I guess...
Great content.
I guess you're all
thank
right,
Thank
you
Mark. Very much. He's more than all. Talk. He's the best.
Oh, thanks, Daisuke. I really enjoyed your... speaking of videos, I really enjoyed your video reaction and to the catalog that Michael Hutchins sent. That made the rounds in the group. That was fantastic.
I missed that. I've been working on a project, so I've missed a lot lately. So I'll have to go track that down.
Yeah, Michael Dice Gay's enthusiasm was amazing.
Really okay. Michael Hutchins is the man. Let me just say that. Michael Hutchins is the man.
He is. I had the fortune of meeting him a couple months ago, and yeah, it was a great experience. So he is absolutely the man, and hopefully I'll get the fortune of meeting you, Daisuke. So let's
hope.
Oh,
the pleasure would be all mine. That would be my pleasure.
Yeah, if you ever get to the U.S., definitely look us up, and same if we get to Tokyo.
Yeah, we can bridge that that Burlington and Columbia gap pretty quickly.
That's right.
So, Mark, where can people find you, sir?
Oh, the Twitter sphere at Mark Herney, spelling H-U-R-N-E, and Letterboxd. I need to make some more updates. But Daisuke is on Letterboxd, so definitely search him out there, too.
Are you on Letterboxd, too, Daisuke? What's your Letterboxd?
Just recently, I think.
I just started recently. I don't even know what my username is. I started recently because of many people's recommendations about the Letterboxd as a resource, and it's really great. You know,
cool.
Yeah. It's really great. So yeah,
it is.
Yeah.
It is.
Thank you for that, Mark. Thank you.
I will dig up your username and I'll put that in the show notes as well. So thank you all for joining. Oh, of course, I'm on Twitter @AWES505. You can find the show on the Criterion Cast Master Feed. Please support our Patreon at Patreon. I think it's Patreon/CriterionNow. You can find us at the Facebook group, Criterion Now. You can just find us everywhere. So thanks so much, guys. Have a great week since it's Sunday.
Yeah, you too.
Likewise.
It's a pleasure.
Pleasure is all mine. Thank you.